CliffCentral.com.
You know, Mondays are belated moments, and what a better way to start your Monday by starting with some good motivation. And I saw this motivation that actually says that, you know, motivation is something that you wear every day. It's like a shower. You have to take a shower every day. You don't have a choice. So if you are motivated now, but you do nothing about it, eventually it's going to wear off. It's like perfume. So welcome to Belighted. My name is Romeo. And today I'm going solo because Rami is gone somewhere getting paid, and I know she had a hectic weekend, and she did send her apology because she is not here today. But hey, the show's gotta go on. You know, I always say the thing about radio etiquette is, you know, just because, you know, we get busy or whatever, we must never ever neglect you as our listener, and we always appreciate you coming through. And today I'm very excited that you know, I have one of the most powerful industry giants, okay, and I call him a legend before his time, okay, because you will understand. Just give him, you know, like wine, give him a couple of years and you will understand. Remember this podcast and you will get to thank me one day. Anyway, I hope that you had a great weekend, and of course we appreciate your interactions. And if you do follow us, follow Rami and I. Rami's Twitter, Instagram is Rami20, and I'm Maromza, M-A-R-O-M-Z-A. And of course, if you want to interact with us, our WhatsApp number is 0797482090. And of course, I just wonder if you are actually downloading our podcasts. You know, we've had, since we started on the 26th of October, 2016, we have a couple of good podcasts that you can actually download. So go to Cliff Central and navigate to Belighted with Rami and Romeo, and you can download our previous podcasts, and then you can actually listen. So let us know, you know, our Facebook page, that's Belighted Show. Just let us know what you think of our previous podcast, so that we can give you good quality, so that we can hook you up and also suggest some of the guests that you want to see on the show. So do follow us also on Instagram. That's Belighted Show on Instagram. So let us know how the show is doing so far, because we also believe it's important that we just don't come here and bore you with things that you could actually Google, but we want to try and bring that unique factor to the show. And it's very sad that the Ramster is not here. You know how we welcome our guests, and you know, the thing with me is I'm the corporate guy, so I'm gonna keep it corporate because I am chilling with my fellow corporate guy as well. And on the show today, we are joined by one powerful man. As I said, he is a life strategist, and he has done so much. He's also a radio DJ as well. So you will hear when he starts talking, you will hope that the hour just doesn't end. And also, he has written books, so he is an author. He has co-authored a book called Applying Your Faith back in 2010, and another follow-up of Applying Your Faith, Volume 2 in 2012, and also authored The Journey Through the Wilderness in 2014. And of course, if you do follow Jazz Celebration, he is the resident speaker, and he's done quite a lot of those shows. Where Joyous was, he is always there. Where Joyous goes, he is always there. And what I like about him as well is the fact that he redefines, you know, your Johannesburg hustle, as I call it, because he finds a way into doing something. I mean, I remember when he told me that he was going to speak at, he was going to be, suggest actually that they're speaking at the Joyous events. And you should see how he says, but I will allow him to speak for himself. Without any waste of time, ladies and gentlemen, allow me to welcome Mr. Bonkesh Palana.
Hey, how are you, my brother?
Hey, I'm very well. This is what we call unradio.
Really?
Yeah, this is unradio. Anything goes. We can talk about your show. We can talk about your business. We can sell anything we want.
Oh, wow. Let's see that in the next 15 minutes we can do that now.
Yeah. Welcome and thank you so much. I know you had to take our time out of your busy schedule to be here as well.
Thanks a lot for the invite. An opportunity to inspire, share, and be a vessel. I always welcome it.
Yeah. And among other things, you are also the CEO of TCF, the communications firm. Just tell us a bit about that, because I think I'm very fortunate that I'm part of that journey on the sidelines. You know, sometimes we talk about our challenges. How do you find time to juggle between all these things that you do?
You know, the amazing thing about life is that I hear people, especially us educated people, saying that in life you must juggle, you must juggle this, you must juggle that. Yeah. I believe in what I call the power of one. I believe in one life. I believe in finding a foundation.
Yeah.
And in that foundation, there can be different rooms that you can go into. There is a lounge, there is a kitchen, there is a gym, there is a study, and you keep on expanding.
Yeah.
But the foundation is the same. Instead of trying to build four different houses, one house is a study, one house is a bedroom, one house is a kitchen. And what I'm trying to say about it is, once you discover your purpose, you make sure that whatever you work on, one way or another, is hooked or linked to your purpose. If it can't hook or link to your purpose, don't do it, because that requires a different life at all. So when I talk to people and people ask me, Boing, what do you do day in and day out? I say, I communicate. That's it. I communicate how. I run a communications company where we do PR.
Yeah.
I run a communications company where we do eventing.
Yeah.
I'm on radio where I do communication. I write books which I communicate.
Yes.
I go on stage and I communicate. So anything that has to do with communication, I fall in love with it, and it's easy for it to fit in. So whatever I share on radio, I use that as for my book material. Whatever I share on stage, and I can see that the audience buy into it, that's what I use on my radio show. Whatever lesson I learn from a business perspective in terms of how to lead people, that's what I use when I go and ask to do team building. So make sure that everything is connected.
All right. Talking about communication,
Clearly
your communication will then extend to home as well.
Yeah.
I mean, as a busy guy, I mean, you have family. You've got two beautiful daughters and a very supportive wife. But then how do you help someone? Let's create a belated moment for someone who, you know, how are you able to separate the frustrations at work, losing a deal, losing money, and getting home and switching off and be a cool dad?
I think for me, it's quite easy. I want to say to people that never, ever, ever confuse what's necessary vis-a-vis what's important in your life. Never
necessary
confuse vis-a-vis what's important.
Right.
My family is necessary.
Yeah.
My family requires my investment. My job is important, meaning I can change my job tomorrow. I can move from company A to company B. I can't change, and I don't want to change my kids. I can't. They are my kids forever. So if I have to compromise between the two, I always make sure that my family benefits.
So let's create that belated moment. It's what's necessary
vis-a-vis what's important.
Versus what's important.
The easiest example that I can share with people that it's important for you to cook food when you're hungry.
Yeah.
It's necessary for you to go and buy the ingredients. If you focus on cooking, one day you're going to open your cupboard and there won't be anything to cook. And by the way, no one actually claps hands for you or tweets that we saw Romeo buying food. They'll clap hands when you cook good food. Yeah. So don't mistake the people opposing you and ignoring the great ingredients. For me, my family are the ingredients. And I make sure that when I go home, I try and pack. And I use the word try because sometimes it's tough. I try and pack work aside. Whenever I feel that work is heavy, I do inform my family, hey guys, for the next 2 days, I'm in a bit of a tough situation. I might not see you as often as possible. Please allow me to work. I'll be back. But then I keep my word towards my family.
How do you then strike the balance? Because, you know, you're saying, guys, here is the challenge. But at the end of the day, okay, fine, it's done. And maybe how do you then strike the balance to make it up to them?
I give them a constant offering. So there's something that is constant, regardless of where Bonke is. Bonke is rich, Bonke is poor. Bonke is stressed, Bonke is happy. Bonke is frustrated. There must be a constant offering. To give an example, I take my daughters to school. When I have time, I pick them up from school. Every Sunday from 2 o'clock onwards, you spend time together. That has nothing to do with external factors. That is constant. So they understand the minimum that they get from the dad, regardless of what dad is going through. The maximum is dependent on what dad is going through. So make sure that in your relationship with any person, it can be at work, it can be lovers, it can be with family, they must understand this is the minimum. that we get from this guy. There's nothing below that. And that's when people start depending on you. But right. if people don't understand the minimum offering, and your offering is dependent on the weather, on the politics, on who's the president of the country, then things are going to be challenging.
Let's go back to your career, where it starts. I mean, you have a degree from PE.
University of Port Elizabeth,
University of Port Elizabeth. And I think you majored in economics.
Yeah.
And, you know, if we had to fast track looking at where you are now, would you have done things differently? You know, taken a different course?
Not really. No. I'm not using my course today. So whatever course I had taken, I wasn't going to use the skill. The attitude, yes. I think we must actually understand that education is not there to create a Romeo based on a book that you have studied.
Right.
It's there to discover the Romeo within you and allows education process to take that person out. What I gained from varsity was me being an entrepreneur, was me running tax shops at varsity, was me being in the SRC, was me being a house committee leader, was me being a cell group leader. So leadership and entrepreneurship skills for me were harnessed while I was at varsity. And that's what I remember. If there was a degree, I was going to get a certificate that says cum laude bonke, leadership, cum laude bonke, entrepreneurship. Because the economic side of it was just a process. Sometimes in life, you do things not because you want them, but because you want to learn from them.
Now, given the level of unemployment in the country right now, and also the challenges that our young people are going through, how would you phrase... Let's say someone is listening to this podcast and, you know, they kind of like are deciding whether to start a business or complete their qualifications. You know, how would you then help them to kind of like navigate the path that would lead to their success?
For me, there are four stages that one needs to go through in life. Number one, get education.
Okay. Education is still
that
very
is
important.
One. Education in all its format. I'm not forcing you to go and do a master's degree or honors degree. If resources don't allow you to do it, still get education. You can read, you can support someone else, you can work under someone, but get formal education. The education becomes the foundation of who you are. That is one. Number two, in your working career, there are three stages. One, you have to work for a company that can invest money in you.
Right.
Educate you. That is one. Maybe that's between 20 and 30. From 30 to 40, forget about investment. Work for someone who you believe in.
Okay.
Work for someone as close as possible. Try and even you can move from a big corporation like Coke, if I could use that example. Go to a small company where you can work closer to the CEO, where you can see how the CEO decides.
Okay.
When does he decide? I mean, I'll give an example. I had my chairman, Mkari. I can tell him, Mkari, there are certain people who, when they come to his office, he takes them to his office. There are certain people who meet them in the boardroom.
Aha.
And you can never learn that from a textbook. So one day I'm asking, but why Romeo Tilela yesterday?
Yeah,
you met him in your office, but this one came and says, Bonke, I had different needs. And I had to set a standard for 1, 2, 3, 4. So those things you can never learn in a big corporate. Last, but once you have done that, so from 30 to 40, work for someone that you buy into, someone that you can learn as quickly as possible from them. At 40, make sure that you live your life.
Okay.
Start living your dream. And most people will work for a big corporate between 20 and 30. They get into debt. They love the dividends. They love the bonuses. And then they get stuck there.
And you essentially you're saying that life really truly begins at 40.
Life begins at 40. I'm turning 40 this year, by the way. And I believe I'm just at the beginning.
Right.
If me and my God have a proper understanding of who I am, I've not even lived half of my life. I'm still at 40%.
Yeah.
This is the first half of the game. And I can't say I've lost. There's still the second half. And there's still more to be achieved.
Well, if you just joined us, we are talking to Mr. Bonke Shipalana, who is the founder of The Power of One. He is the CEO of the communications firm, TCF. And he's an author. He's a radio DJ. Works for Capricorn FM. And the man is loaded. Now, another back to you, Mr. Shipalana.
Yeah.
Let's talk about... you and I were part of, in fact, you invited me back in 2013 or so, where we were in Polokwane to do the graduate top-up program.
Sure.
And one of the questions that come to me is, we are currently faced, and I do a lot personally, you know, doing a lot of guest lecturing around current trends in ICT, among other things. You know, you touched on a very important aspect of making sure that you are you are next to a decision maker as much as possible in order for you to understand how businesses make money, for example. Now, a current graduate, just graduated right now, how would they actually find a way to getting to that kind of example?
You know, I always say to young people, especially when graduating or just after graduating, you have a blank page. The ink is your blood. The blood is your time. Yeah. The time is your attitude. Make sure that at a young age, before you get married, before you have kids, work as hard as possible. Unfortunately, for most young people, that's when they have their first paycheck. So parties and lifestyle become critical to them. And I say to them, while you don't have the responsibility of paying that big bond, taking kids to school, work as hard, as long as possible. And work towards the next job, not where you are.
Let's take it one step back. I mean, we are dealing with a bunch of graduates who are so driven, but they have so much responsibility, you know, coming from, you know, disfranchised backgrounds or, you know, families where, you know, money is a very scarce commodity. Now, immediately when they graduate, by default, they have responsibilities. And that obviously kind of like becomes a challenge for them to kind of like immediately ramp up and start saving and making all those personal wishes and dreams come true. Then how would you talk to someone in that position, you know, and coming from, whether you're coming from, you know, more rural, traditional families where they say, we took you to school, now you must take your brother to school. And so forth.
The one thing that privileged child, a child from Malamulele has, a child from England has, that is equal to all of them is time.
Okay.
So if you're from varsity, even though your expenses might be higher than someone else, the one thing that is equal to both of you is time. Make sure that you work on your time. For me, time is about giving. So make sure that you give to things that are investment to your future, not to things that are an expense to your current life.
Okay.
So even if family back home are asking for 50% of your salary to take care of family issues at home, that's fine. But what are you doing Friday night? What are you doing Saturday afternoon? Where not do you log off on Friday and forget about work and only remember on Monday? Or do you say Saturday between 3 and 6 before I'm going to read this particular books. I mean, I'll give you an example. But if you read the same category of books for 5 years, you end up being the 1% of knowledgeable people in the world in that particular category. So if you read leadership books or mining books or science book for 5 years, you'll end up being the 1%. So that has nothing to do with money. It has to do with time. And I'm saying that stop competing according to money because we are not born equal. One thing that God gave us that is the same is time. Use your time properly. It's the same thing as me and you. You might have a membership to Virgin Active. I don't have it. You go once or twice a week when you feel like it. If I jog Monday to Friday, 5 days a week, I might be healthier than you, even though you have the money to go to Virgin Active and I'm running a strategy.
Right.
So make sure that you use your time in preparation for where you expect God to take you, rather than use your time in celebrating where you are.
You started the company called The Power of One, where it's really about you know, empowering young people and, you know, doing a lot of talks and motivation. What is the importance then of you know, we extending to what you just said now, the importance of saying, yes, I have a job, but I need to start something on the side? What is the importance of that, especially given the nature of our economy today?
I think one thing that we must be aware of, and it's a mind shift more than anything else. We are born for a purpose. We are born for a reason. Whatever you do on earth, always ask God to reveal to you your purpose, your reason of being on earth. And the amazing thing about your purpose, it's not revealed as a line item, you are here to do this. It's revealed while at work. The work that you're doing reveals it to you. It might not be a definition of who you are. So I studied economics. I'm not supposed to be an economist. That was a process to reveal the bonker that is within me. So what I'm saying in simple English, sebenza. get a job. You might be sitting there and say, I've got a degree, I don't have a job. Go and volunteer. Because it's only through work that you can discover why you are on earth. Most people are sitting at home. They've got this ticket written, business class, fly to Atlanta. They expect the plane to come to their house. No, comrade, you must get into a taxi.
Get to the airport, yeah.
Get into a taxi. Mm. Take to the airport at the right time. Mm. Wait for the right plane. Then you will fly. Yeah. It's only in the process that you can get closer to your calling. Mm. And I want to say to young people, don't listen to the naysayer, but there's no job. Yes, volunteering is a job that allows you to discover who you are. Yeah. Most people today who are successful will tell that they started at the bottom rank. Mm. And then they worked their way up. And opportunities come in at work. You can never, ever score a goal while sitting in the grandstand.
Yeah, no, I'm... You talk in such a way that I actually forget that I'm hosting you. So I'm listening with intent.
Over, comrade.
So my point is that, you know, I learn a lot, especially I think you and I always have this, a lot of aha moments, especially offline, where we can just, you know, whether it's a telephone call or we meet and we spend that 5 minutes. Also, it kind of like brings me to my next question about the importance of surrounding yourself with positive people and surrounding yourself with people who are where you are trying to get to. Who are those? Some of those people? Because I think a lot of people look at you now and because the society kind of like class you with the car you drive and they call you successful. But who are some of those people that you look up to that have really shaped who you are? And, you know, what are some of the lessons that you take from them? But not only that, you actually implement and do something about what you learn from them.
I'm fortunate and blessed that my father's still alive. I'm turning 40, still married, still preaching the word of God. Yeah. I've seen him stick to one thing and then grow deeper, not bigger, deeper into what he was doing. So for me, that became a foundation of my life, that bonk it. Allow God to decide for you what you need to do and work hard on it. It might not bear fruits in the first 2-3 years, but work hard on it. So my father is one of them. The late Dr. Miles Monroe, his book, his words still live beyond the grave.
Yeah.
That's one person that I really, 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 really keep on referring to every time I need to ask questions around a particular topic. I Google, what did Mal say about this? What's his angle? Because anytime you talk from a different planet. Mm. But he'll connect with you.
Correct.
That's one. My two partners, my bosses, Given Curry and Andile. I love them for having the ability to be stubborn when it comes to their dreams and against the odds, make sure that their dreams become reality. I mean, to give an example, most of us dream about being on radio. That's the maximum level of our dream. We dream about being on radio. They dreamt about owning not one, not two, but now 4 radio stations. 2 more are being launched in July. They own this.
What are those? The
there's Power FM Power in Gauteng. Yeah. There's Capricorn FM in Polokwane, Limpopo. There's Beat FM in Bloemfontein launched, and there's Rhythm that is in East London.
Ah.
4 radio stations owned by young boys under the age of 45.
Yeah.
And by the way, I'm a shareholder in 2 of those stations. And it's because I surrounded myself with people who are not scared of dreaming.
But where do I start? I'm a young graduate and I have this drive and perhaps I've been following your work through university.
Yeah.
Where do I start? I mean, given that today, for example, you have a lot of accounting degrees and a lot of ICT, like your IT degrees. Where, if you had to give me an idea to nudge me in the right direction, where do I start?
Stop networking.
Stop.
Stop.
Okay.
You have nothing to network with. I think we have this thing that let's go network, but what are you offering? You can't network. It's pointless for someone to know Romeo Mabasa. Mm. And then?
Yeah.
What does Romeo stand for? What has he done? Mm. So your focus should be on building you.
Aha. So you build yourself first.
Let me be honest. Mm. Given Mkari and Andile Kumalo called me to join them. Mm. They didn't call me because Nimchangana or I am tall. They studied my work for 2 years. To see, oh, that boy did this. And by that time, I was not tweeting about my... I was just bonke. I was doing my own workshops. I just launched Ola 7 at CELSI. I had built a good career when I was at SABC. I built a career, and they said, that boy has got something that we need.
Right.
It's not because they were RDP. They just felt like giving me. No, they didn't call me because they wanted to give.
You qualified yourself.
There was a need.
Yeah.
And fortunately, I was able to fill that need. So stop trying to impress Patrice Motsepe. Stop trying to impress Kanyu Glomo. Do you? And guess what? When you do you, Kanyu will identify you.
Aha.
We make the mistake of bumping into Patrice at the parking lot and we irritate him. Hey, Patrice, born. I've got this idea, man. Petrus gets that obviously, but work and expect God to put the spotlight on you, not you.
What do you think of this? I always like to say that people are attracted to what you've done or what you've done that they can hold versus what you still intend to do.
No. You can never learn how to swim by reading a book.
You need to jump into the water.
I think yesterday or last week I tweeted that no dog has ever been had a full stomach by barking.
Yeah, that's correct.
It's part and parcel of being a dog, but the dog must eat. So now wake up every day, build you, promise you when you... I mean, if there are two houses, and then Bati, one is for Romeo, one is for Bonke. If Romeo decides to build without going down in terms of the foundation, and I take 3 months going down the foundation, people are going to see my side as rubble. Ah, look at that rubble. But I'm digging the foundation. But oh, look at Romeo. He's doing well. And then Romeo's house is big. Mine comes in 2 years later. We're in the same size. They might think we're equal. Wait for the storm.
Aha. That's where
the
real character comes out.
And the real character comes out. So take time to build you. Promise you, it might take 6 months, it might take 4 years, but build you. The Usain Bolt that we see today didn't start running at the age of 21. That guy was running since he was 12. And what people don't know, his first Olympics, he lost badly. He didn't even make it to the finals. But he kept on building himself to a point where, in his mind, he's number one. When he gets into a race, he's running to be number one. He's running against himself. But if you don't build yourself, you're going to run based on the people around you. If they're slower people, you become slow. If they're fast people, you become... Usain Bolt doesn't care who's running next to him. Yeah. If it's the final race...
He built himself.
Yes.
So running, he knows where the goal is, and that's what he focuses on. So he wears a better to walk up and runs.
I want to give you an example. Me and you, Romeo, are authors. There's nothing that gets into my nerves when someone says, I want to be an author. I'm like, okay, what have you written? No, nothing. It's in my head. You're wasting my time.
Yes.
But if you say to me, listen, I've written this book. I went and I printed 30 copies using a photocopying machine at home. And then I can see that this person has done something.
Yeah.
But don't come and make me want to buy into a dream. I am not Jesus.
Let's talk about your radio show. So you've got a show every Sunday, 9 to 12.
That's changed now.
Six to nine.
Six to ten.
Four hours. 6 to 10. Just tell us a little bit about how you got into that.
Again, I'm a believer in putting things out to the world. At the age of 26, I wrote an email to my five top friends and said, guys, I'm going to be on TV, I'm going to be on radio. And they thought, obvious.
How many of those believed?
No, they actually had a meeting on the circle. Hey, let's save money a month. Ubonke has lost it a bit. We need to save money. So I wrote that. And then by that time, I was still doing my talks on the side. And then I hear that there's Capricorn FM that is coming. I said to ask Andile Kumalo, who's going to run it, but Simpio Mjalosa. I didn't even know that Simpio was going to be present on the show. So I decided to meet him one day. I asked him where he's going to be. He said, Hilton Hotel. I went to meet him at Hilton Hotel. I said, listen, Baba, I want to share. I want to talk. When I've been radio, I said, okay, what are you going to stand for? I says, I want to encourage people to know that they're powerful, they're strong, they were born for a purpose. He said, how much? I said, I'm not here to talk about money. I first want to get the opportunity. If the opportunity is fine, money will talk later. And most people make the mistake of pricing themselves out of an opportunity before they even get the opportunity. So I got in there for 6 years. What people don't know, I was a... No, 5 years. I was a co-presenter who came in for 30 minutes. I used to come in for 30 minutes just to come in.
What is it called again?
I forgot.
Something wilderness.
Journey through the wilderness. Journey through the wilderness.
Yes.
I used to come there for 30 minutes. I used to talk and leave.
Yeah.
And then after 6 years, I took a break for a year. And after a year, the radio bug came back. Says, no, you need to go back.
You never leave.
Yeah.
Once you are
full
here,
time. Yeah. And I went back full time. So again, for 6 years, I was a co-host. And that six says, did I desire to be a host? Yes. Mm. Did I force my way and fight and leave Capricorn to go and join something else? Not really. Mm. I knew that my time will come, and when my time will come, I'll be so strong that nothing else will shake me.
Yeah.
Thank God that 3 years ago I didn't get a show, 4 years ago I didn't get a show. I don't think I'll have been committed and matured enough. So time played a role in where I am today. The show is for 4 hours. The idea behind the show is to remind people that they're born for a purpose. Don't allow the facts about you to diminish the truth about you.
Yeah.
The truth is based in the Bible, where it says God knew you before you were formed. Who is this you that is mentioned there? So there is a reason why you were born.
Yeah.
And your role every day is to try and discover that reason. Once you discover that reason, you become a Messi. You become a Ronaldo. You become a Patrice Motsepe. You become someone that people are like, how did he do it? Because things become easy. What people think is impossible to you is natural.
What about someone who is kind of like following the same path, but then, you know, I think the more we grow, or, you know, given the current economic conditions, you find that the generation today is not very fortunate when it comes to time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you find that, yes, you are going through the journey, but then you are pressed. There's no food, you know, you know, you just can't get around because you don't have money. You know, how do you then, you know, given where we come from, because I think we had the, you know, you talk about, I was on a commercial radio station for 5 years before I could get an opportunity.
Yeah.
You know, but given today's challenges, how would someone navigate, you know, and how to manage the frustration? I don't have money, but I know I'm building towards something.
Guys, it's about time. I'm talking from my own experience. I'll give you an example. When I was doing my honors here at UPE full time, I had 4 jobs, including honors. I'll give you an example. I used to be the head student of my RES, in charge of 360 kids. I used to own 4 tuck shops that employed 8 people. I used to work full time for NetBank every day, and I used to do my honors full time. So here was my day. I used to wake up at 5 o'clock, go and unlock the shop, make sure I count the cash flow, make sure the staff member is there, go back to my room, wash, catch a taxi at 7:30, go to work from 8 and from 9 until 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock I come back, 5:30 I'm in class until 7:30. 7:30 I have to go now check residence issues and meetings. 10 o'clock I go and lock the tuck shop. I did that for a full year. For a full year, yeah. I did 4 things. I had to understand
every single day.
Saturday I'll have to go and buy stock for the shops. Yes. Sunday is church, and then I'm a cell group leader at the same time. I did that for a full year. Were my friends having fun? Yes, they were having a joy of a lifetime. Mm. But I realized this is an investment into who Bonke is. So 10 years later, I get angry when Romeo comes to me and says, "Hey, Bonke is lucky." I'm like, "What do you mean I'm lucky?"
Yeah.
Adversity for a whole year, I didn't have a life, but it was an investment. Meant, which today is bearing fruits. So when I had to go for job interview end of the year, Romeo will come with an honors degree. I came with an honors degree. I came with a leadership degree. I came with an entrepreneur degree. I came with time management degree. I came with experience.
And all it took is just 1 year.
It's just 1 year.
Focus and commitment and actually doing your best, as difficult as it is to overlook umnandi na kuri, you know, famba mia kuina banga.
I can still have umnandi now.
With friends, yeah.
But you, that's why, back to my point of understanding what's necessary, what's important. Partying was important. It was not necessary. I could live without partying.
Okay.
But it was necessary for me to invest in Bonke, to be a leader. Now today, when I run a company, people are, "Hey, where did you get your leadership skills?" I mean, I became a leader of TCF at the age of 30. I had to manage people who were older than me. The experience that I had to use was what I learned at varsity, where I was 19 running a RES with 350 people from first year to honors and master's students, but I had to manage the RES. So I had to invest. So regardless, stop focusing on the money issue. I know it does impact us, but try and always place your mind and say, what is it that I have that is equivalent to other people that I can use for my own benefit?
Right.
I give an example. December, when more Romy are busy eating bride meat and everything else.
It doesn't mean me, guys.
Yeah, just as an example. That's when I go to gym.
Yeah.
Because I know gyms are quiet and I put more energy and emphasis. So make sure that you use your time. Time is the only thing that you have that any other person has that you can compete with.
Yeah, and let's talk about your books.
Yeah.
You have co-authored two books with Siphiwe Mdlalose.
Yeah.
And I think, let me take you back to when you met him at the Hilton.
Yeah.
Would you have thought then that actually that relationship would grow to you writing two books? Tell us a little bit how that came about.
When on radio, we used to obviously share the messages and we'll debate what I just talked about, and people will call and realize that the people are liking this content. So what's the best way to take this content, package it in a manner that they'll read? We understood that our role on earth, or currently at that stage, even now, we're not aspiring to be bestsellers internationally. It's aspiring to take this content, what you call podcast, we made it a bookcast. we just put in a book and say, here's the content, read it whenever you do. And then we did the first year, and the books sold, and I think we're to do three more prints, and said, let's do it second year. And then we did the second year. That also also ran wild. So it was not a, you know, sometimes people want you to come up with a scientific way of why. No, we were talking on air, like me and you are doing. People loved the content. They said, where can we have it? And I said, okay, let's package it and sell it. And we use our business skills to make money out of the content.
You know, knowing what I know about you is about the importance of knowing how to exploit an opportunity. And someone is always waiting for an opportunity to hit them between the eyes. What is the importance of, and how do you really, really identify an opportunity that actually leads to you making more money from within an opportunity? Because remember, Big on Radio was an opportunity.
Yeah.
And then within that opportunity, you identified other opportunities that helped you make money.
One, understand your foundation, your purpose, your path one, the reason you're being on earth. Anything that connects to it should always have a connection to the next generation.
Okay.
So when I write a book, there are two, three things I look into. Number one, the book is going to live longer than I do. So the next generation will learn something.
We'll probably That's pick one. It up, yeah.
Number two, I am making money. My kids are going to inherit something.
Yeah.
Last but not least, even if I die, if my books are published and they're still being purchased, my kids will still get revenue out of it. What I'm trying to say to every person, especially if you are reaching about 25 and going the other direction of life, and you start having family, make sure that whatever you invest your time on, it's something that your children can inherit. If your children can inherit, make it a secondary, not a primary. And as you grow, things might be primary, but as you grow, things must change. When someone says, here's an opportunity, you have to look at it and say, okay, it's going to take 3 years of my life.
Yeah.
After 3 years, will I have the seed, or I'm only supplying the fruit? If there's no seed, never give it a primary life, because then you are working for now and not for the future. And the Bible is quite clear that a wise man leaves an inheritance for his great grandchildren.
For his great grandchildren.
Yeah.
There is a quote, and this quote you created and developed. And what we've done, I think, part of what we do as writers, also when we do writing workshops, is to encourage people to start writing their own quotes.
Yeah.
It's okay to quote other people, especially international famous people. But why do you think also is important to write your own quotes? And we'll talk about your quote that says, "What would the world have lost if you were never born?"
For you to write your own quotes simply means that you have looked at a problem and answered it differently. It's pointless for you to answer the question the same it was answered the last time, because then what's your role? you're a duplicate when you're saying to the creator that, you made me like Mandla. So I'm going to be Mandla to the power too.
Yes.
At the end of the day, you need to find your own niche, your own offering. And what people, when people make the mistake, is to assume that the world has got limited resources. I mean, let's go back to Usain Bolt again. Usain Bolt is a runner just like all other runners. He's fast like most other runners. But he brought flamboyant fun into the race, where he's no longer as serious as the other guys. Tiger Woods was a good golfer. Previously, golf players were never fit. Tiger Woods started to look fit. And you can see now everyone in the golf game is starting to to go to gym. Well, most people did not. So make sure that whatever you get involved in, bring your own personality to it, which is going to influence how people take that game or that sector to the next level. So for me, quotes mean that I've done this level. Whoever comes in must start from my level and go up. But if I use a quote of Miles Monroe all the time, it means whoever comes is going to use that quote from 1982. We're all stuck in the 80s.
So, how did you come up with this? What would the world have lost if you were never born?
That quote was inspired by Abraham Lincoln and Miles Monroe. They have a quote that the both use that says that most people die at the age of 25, only buried at the age of 75. I mean that for 50 years you are just wasting air. Miles Monroe went further to say that the wealthiest place in the world is a cemetery because dreams and potentials are buried there.
Yeah.
So that is the foundation. That's what provoked me to ask that question. Say, if the dreams are buried in a cemetery, did the people not know that they had dreams? Are we someone had asked them? And then what question would they have been asked? And I had so many questions, but I looked for one that can hit the heart, hit the head, and makes you think. And that question, I mean, it looks easy. It took me 6 months to 6 months to put it together and make sure that it makes sense. It's short, but it's got a powerful punch.
Yeah.
And any time I ask that question, there is no person who stands up and says, "I have an answer." Everyone sits back and
you really got to think. And of course, if you wanna follow Bonke, his handle is simply Bonke Shipalana. And then also Bonke, I'm talking about Twitter.
Yeah.
Some of your best quotes actually, or some of your best thoughts, you actually post them via your social media.
Yeah.
And I wanna actually take you back to one you posted 7 hours ago.
Alala.
And you say, "Let's talk about your plans, future, and more action about your plan/future. No dog ever had a full stomach by barking all day." Even though we covered that a bit.
Yeah.
How do you actually come up? Because I know these are random thoughts, you know, because it also happens to me.
Yeah.
What message are you trying to portray? Because I think also a lot of people underestimate the power of selling your brand through social media.
To be honest, if I remember well, I had about 4 or 5 tweets, and all of them, it says, "Just stop it." And it was provoked by what I see young people doing, where they're using social network to promote their potential and not what they're doing. If you go back to Thursday actually put a tweet, last week Thursday, I put a tweet where it says that, "I wish what you are known for and what you are known for and what you're doing are on the same road."
Yes.
Because so many people today say, "I run a media company." Like, okay, cool. Which clients? Dololo. I don't know, but you can't call yourself a bird if you're not flying.
Yeah.
You can't call yourself a fish if you're not able to go in water. Why is your name description different from what you stand for?
Yeah.
So young people today have got these tendencies of sharing about the future and not working on them currently. One of the quotes that I said in there, and it's based on what I experienced. So I see something, I get angry, and I say, what can I advise? I've seen so many people who go and help a stranger on the side of the road, and they give them 100 rand, and now you take picture of that, "I've helped." Wow. Were you doing it for social network or are you doing for yourself? I've seen people who buy their wives, or the opposite, can a wife buying a husband a car, and then tweeting, "I just bought my wife a car." So all of those tweets were trying to say, people, do it from the soul of your heart, not from impressing people.
Let's quickly talk about the power within the book, the latest book, and also seeing how, you know, the marketing creative or the marketing genius that you are in terms of selling it and positioning it. So your latest book is called The Power Within, and with your tagline being, "What would the world have lost if you were never born?" And this is your fourth book.
This is my fourth book out of the 40 that I'll be writing in my life.
So 40, 30, remember that number.
So 36 40. To go.
The
book, in simple English, it's saying that we're all born with a powerful main switch. But we expect government, we expect pastors, we expect banks, we expect politicians to go and switch on the main switch. But unfortunately, the main switch works through a fingerprint.
Yeah.
And only a fingerprint can raise the main switch. But we are in a room where it's dark and we keep on touching and we say, "Oh, this is a table." Or this, we're guessing life. And sometimes we find a microwave and touch this, "This is a TV." because it's square, it looks like the old from a TV. Yeah. We don't understand the value and the power that is and the assets that are in our realm or space. Mm. The only way you can understand that is just to go and switch on the power that is within you. So I'm encouraging people to depend on them. I say that whatever question you have on earth, the answer is within you.
Yeah.
Most people think that I don't have an answer. We always asking other people to help us out. I've seen people who can get sick for 3 weeks and like, did you pray? No, I'm waiting for Mfundisi to come back from overseas to pray for me.
Ow.
Haibo.
Switch on the main switch.
Yeah, switch on the main switch. Yeah. I've seen people say, no, Bonk, you know, 1994, I applied for a funding from IDC or DBSA. I didn't get it. So what have you done since then? No, I'm chill. So hold on. For 22 years when you are angry at that one letter that said you are rejected. So many people have given power outside and it's within them. They don't want to invest the time in searching for the switch. And once you make sure the switch goes on, guess what? One day there will be lightning. The switch will go down. But once you know where the switch is, you can go. But if someone had switched it on for you, the day there's lightning, which happens, now you're back to...
Yeah, and how can people get hold of the book? Because I know you also have the ebook version as well.
The book is available on my website, www.bonke.co.za. That is bonke.co.za. Or if you go to my Facebook or... Twitter handle Bonke Shipalan.
Yeah.
We're able to send it to you. Again, as I said, understand the why you do something. Currently, the vision is not to be the best-selling author in the world, and that's why you will never find my book at Exclusive Books and wherever. Because I need to make money, and those people steal your money. Sideline.
But also it brings me to another interesting question as well.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the author who writes books because they hope that it will go into your big e-tailers or retailers, and it doesn't. And you find that they actually didn't have a plan to sell their books except a couple of friends here and there. How would you then help someone in that kind of position?
People buy the author before they buy the content. It's very rare for someone just to go to Exclusive Books and then see a book called Cliff Central and just buy it. You must know who is the author, or someone has recommended, or you have read about it. My recommendation to anyone else, find platforms where you can summarize the book to people. So they can buy into the soul of the book before they read the book. When I read T.D. Jakes' book, I read it in his voice because I listen to him. I read it in his voice. When I read Miles Monroe, I read it in his voice. Why? Because I've encountered Miles Monroe. But if I buy a book that I've never heard the author speaking, it's tough, it's boring, it's slow because I read it in my own voice.
And so, and on that, actually, I just had a moment there.
Yeah.
There are people who struggle. Once you read somebody's book, it's very difficult to find your own voice. Because you risk sounding the same as that particular, you know, you talk about T.D. Jakes.
Yeah.
How do you then distinguish between what you read versus your ability to create your own?
Again, it goes back to knowing who you are. I'm not far away from Miles Monroe in terms of talking about purpose, but I'm not Miles Monroe. I'm not a duplicate of Miles Monroe. The day someone calls me Miles Monroe Jr., I'll smack them. Because they undermine who I am and they undermine who Miles was. So that is one. Number two, take time to sometimes stop reading and start writing. So if I know that I'm going to start writing a book, I don't read anything for about a month or two. Because I don't want that to influence my writing. So sometimes if you read, take 2 months, it's one for the next 2 months. I ain't reading nothing. I am going to just be writing. It's the same thing as the times when I take time off from watching news because they just depress me and I just don't want to be depressed. So you have to really sometimes take time and write and then come back. But if all you do is read, write, you're a human being, there's a habit, you're going to steal something without even realizing that you're George.
And then they wait for you to sell a million copies and they come for you.
And they say page 64, paragraph. And you debate, but when they show you the proof, like, okay, because you didn't see it, and it's natural. So make sure it's the same thing as if every day when I listen to Marakiri, that's all you listen to. One day you'll sing and even Romeo with his big voice, hero in you, because that's what
yeah.
you've been listening to.
Yes. All right. So we're almost out of time. But before we go, you branded yourself Mr. Peppos at some point. Obviously, the brand evolves and all that. If I had to give you 3 minutes and say, just talk about Peppos, and I'm your audience, and then can you just encourage me on the power of Peppos? Because I think that's your conviction, and it has been since I've known you. I think we met around 2006.
Yeah.
You know, it has been your conviction. And what is this Peppos all about? Because a lot of people are confused what the Peppos is. They don't know how to discover their Peppos. They don't know where to start. So if I had to give you this platform, because remember, once the podcast is out, you are able to distribute it.
Sure.
You know, it would be like a good start for someone who says, what are you about? And, you know, you are able to actually direct them to the podcast.
The five quick points that I can share with anyone who is listening, two of them are from me, the other three, I'll tell you who the author is. Number one, nothing is for free in this world. Mm. Even your purpose, it's going to cost you something. Any person in this world today who is a success, who we talk about, write about, has to give up something in order for them to be where they are. For me and you to be here, it was Easter this weekend. Someone had to die for me and my belief for me to be where I am. That is one. So understand that it's going to cost you something. That is one. Number two, most people, when they talk about purpose, they say, I am passionate about 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm passionate about this platform. Unfortunately, there's lack of understanding of the root word that is passion. If you go back to a Greek context, the word passion means suffering. That's why we're the passion of Christ. It was the?
The suffering of Christ.
Of Christ. Okay. So when you come to me and say, Bonk, I'm passionate about radio. What I hear is that you say, I'm willing to suffer for radio.
Aha.
When you say, I'm passionate about people, it means I'm willing to suffer for people. So be very careful in terms of passion is not something that you like. Mm. Our education system says, oh, Bonk, you're good at maths. Ah, he's passionate about accounting. Mm. That's how they connect fun with passion. Right. Passion is all about suffering. Mm. For most of us today who are branded as good at something, we suffered for that position that we're at today.
Right.
So understand that for you to get into a purpose, there's a level of suffering that needs to happen, and that's where passion comes into. Mm. The next 3 points are from John C. Maxwell. These are questions that you need to ask yourself. Number one, what makes me cry? What is it that when it's happening out there, it makes me bleed so much that I want to stand up and do it on my own? I'm not going to wait for Romeo to say, Bonke, I'll support you, or Romeo to like my status.
Yep.
This I am willing to do on my own.
Mm.
Great people that we talk about, Nelson Mandela, Mahatma Gandhi, Mother Teresa, Martin Luther, didn't wait for someone to say, we'll go to jail with you. They said, if it means I die.
Yeah, so be it.
So be it. Mm. So it goes back to suffering.
Mm.
They were willing to suffer. Mm. So ask yourself, out of the 20,000 things that happen in this world, what's that one thing that makes
And suffering, you are talking about something that you're willing to let go to get this.
Yeah. You are willing to go above emotions. It's not about I'm feeling good about it.
Yeah.
It needs to be done.
Mm.
It needs to be done. I mean, I'll give you an example. There was a match on Friday, last week in Pretoria on Wednesday.
Mm.
It was a concern, yes, but I didn't feel like I want to be there because politics are part of me, but they're not the thing that I want to suffer for.
Yeah.
I'm willing to suffer for business. Mm. I'm willing to suffer to motivate people.
Right.
So decide what you want to. That's what makes me cry. Number two, what makes me sing?
Mm.
What is it that after doing, I just feel good?
Mm.
I feel like I've reconnected with the source of who I am.
Yep.
Those two things need to be the same.
Interlinked, yeah.
So me, I get angry when people don't live out their purpose.
Mm.
I get angry when people die with their potential.
Mm.
So how do I do it? I stand up and talk. I'm on radio. I write books. I come to this show. So after this show, I'm going to feel better than when I arrived.
Right.
Because I am doing what I was born to do.
Mm.
Last but not least, do I believe that my life has the ability to support those two things?
Yeah.
And it's a belief thing. I'm not saying, do you have the resources? I didn't say that.
Mm.
I said, do you believe?
Right.
And once you can believe that what makes me cry and what makes me sing, I can do it, then you have solved it.
Yeah.
Last thing as a closure to the circle, purpose is not found. It's discovered in the journey.
That was belated today with Bonke Shipalana. And thank you so much for coming through. And quickly, how do people get hold of you?
People can get hold of me. Social network, Bonke Shipalana, B-O-N-N-K-E Shipalana on Facebook and Twitter. Capricorn FM every Sunday between 6 and 10. And also, if you want to call, office is 463-7550. Sorry, Joburg number, 011-463-7550. Or you can wait for CNN. You'll see me there in about 2 years' time.
Remember that, 2 years. Thank you so much. This is Romeo signing out. And we'll see you again next week, Monday. And hopefully, Remstar will be here. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Hi, everyone. My name is Nonhlanhla Mdluli.
Hi, this is Thabo Mdluli. You're on Belighted with Rami and Romeo on Cliff Central. On radio, unscripted, uncensored. That's beautiful.
CliffCentral.com.